In our remaining minutes tonight, I wanted to continue our series that we're doing on the normal natural life of the believer. And we'll just get started with this tonight. But if you take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But the next phase that I want to communicate with you is family life. I think you all know this, that family life in America is being redefined. I saw a picture the other day that was on the New York Times website, and it was showing the new American family. And it was the most disgusting picture I think I've ever seen. They had a transvestite, they had a gender neutral. They just tried to show everything, and it said the changing nature of America. And they're calling that the new or the normal America now. And it's not, but it's fast becoming that. And what it is it's a end times attack on identity and what God says we are. It's very simple. What God says we are. You know, there's only, somebody showed me, I think it was Mr. Watt or somebody showed me a meme that they had a picture of a t-shirt that had on there said there's more than one gender. And then on the side it said to order the t-shirt male size, female size. It's just like, really? It's just unbelievable the craziness that we have in our world today. But we've got to teach our children what the Bible says, what a family is. Because if they take it from the world, they're not going to have the right concept. They're not going to understand. And there is a natural and normal family life. And that's what we have to promote. That's what we have to teach our children. As we're going to see, God has a way to establish the home. And we're going to be looking at that, the normal, natural life of the believer. What's the home like? And we have to avoid accepting what the world says is normal. Because we're bombarded with it every day. It's on television, it's on the internet, it's in social media. It's just a constant bombarding of, we're going to redefine things, we're going to change things, we're going to tell you what marriage really is. And that concept will get rooted in the hearts and lives of boys and girls growing up in America, and we're going to fast become what Europe is like. And they've been having this stuff's been going on for a very long time. So we want to look at what the Bible has to say. I want you to look at verses 18 through 22 in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now notice that. Heart, soul, hand. Body, soul, spirit is what is indicated there. You're to lay up the words of God in every part of your being, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now for those naysayers that always go back and say, well, and I had a conversation, by the way, with a gentleman, and we were talking about standards in Christian schools. And this guy started going off, said, well, I have no problem with lowering standards. So we've had these unbelievable standards for so long in Christian schools, and you know, we don't have to have all those things. And I said, well, wait just a minute. What does the Bible say? The Bible records in Genesis 35 that when Jacob went up to worship, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, you tell your children, you go get rid of your idols and change your clothes before you come worship me at Bethel. And you know what came off of his lips? Well, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us. And I said, well, what do you do with 1 Corinthians chapter 10? It says that the Old Testament was written for our admonition and for our learning. And then he said, we just agree to disagree. He had already in his mind, Old Testament doesn't apply to anything to us. And so we can do what we want to. We have liberty. That's not biblical. That is a completely twisted version of what liberty is. Liberty is not me doing what I want to do. Liberty is doing what Christ wants me to do. That's completely different. If God told Jacob, you're not going to come worship me as you are. You're going to have to get rid of your idols and you're going to have to change your clothes. In other words, it's not acceptable for you to have idols and it's not acceptable for you to come dressed like you are to my worship. That lays down the gauntlet. Old Testament, New Testament. By the way, it's interesting here that this is repeated in the New Testament. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's repeated in the New Testament for us. And so, what we're going to be talking about in regard to the normal, natural life of the believer, family life, is what God establishes in His Word. So, we look past the verses. There is no question that the majority of our lives are lived within the context of home. That's where we live. Our children are just about grown. Our first child came in 1993, 25 years ago. All right? A quarter of a century we've had children in our home. All right? That's been the context of our life. I'm assuming that our children will come back to visit after they leave our home. All right? Right now, we're having them visit for way too long. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, there may be a few more years, perhaps, and then they're out on their own. And that's the way it ought to be, right? But they're going to come back to visit. And they're going to come back where? Home. All right? We live our lives in the context of home. We live our Christian lives in the context of our home. And we come together as a church family. This is our church home. And this is where we have grown. I've grown up here. Many of you have been here for a long time. All 54 years of my life has been spent in this church. It's been my home. So God makes a big deal about family life and how the family is carried out. And we need to pay attention to what God says about the home and what should be the normal. Growing up in a home, establishing a new home, living in a home environment with children is normal and natural. And isn't it interesting that the devil's attacking in these last days that identity? Changing the whole, throwing it upside down. Changing that whole old concept of what we call home. How we live in that context will determine much of the default values of the next generation. The default values, what you fall back on. I had to have my computer worked on, and they said, we're going to have to go back to some of your default settings on here. We are working on that. Well, that was the factory settings that it started out. I'm going to have to go back and change them when I get it back. But they went back to default settings. You always fall back on that. You will always fall back. Unless you come under the dominance of the Word of God, and that becomes your new default set, you'll always revert back to what you had growing up. How you thought. What you thought was right. What you thought was wrong. Now, you may have been taught totally wrong. You may have concepts that were embedded in you, and when you get saved, God can work on you and change that. But if you're not careful and you don't walk in His Word, you will go back to default. That's just the way we are. So what are the default settings for your children and your grandchildren? Where are they learned? At home. Whatever kind of home you have is what those children are going to grow up with and what they're going to take with them when they leave your home. So this is important and very important. Family life. Think of this passage of Scripture. This came up in our class in Bible with the 11th and 12th graders. And this, I think, is one of the greatest passages having to do with home and family life. Mark chapter 3, verses 25 through 27. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Why are divorce rates in America 51% and they're 51.5% among Christians? Why is that? divided homes. Divided homes. A divided home can't stand. You have to have a unified home. You got to be both pulling in the direction. I got a little picture up there of two people pulling different ways and not pulling together. Well, that house is going to fall. Verse 26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, this verse of Scripture often gets taken out of context, but I want you to think about what the Lord's communicating here. You got to have a strong man in the house, defending the house. And the only way you're going to be able to overcome that is to somehow bind that strong man where you take him out of the picture. And what has the devil done in these last days? The devil has attacked manhood, the identity of manhood. And they are attacking it every day. We will not have strong men in our society. That is what the culture is pushing today. And that's why Hollywood and television networks are pushing so hard to create home environments on television that do not have a strong male figure. And they make sure they emasculate him. And if he does show any kind of signs of masculinity, he's made fun of, he's laughed at, he's scoffed at, and relegated to the dust heap of television. Look at what's on there. I don't watch sitcoms. But when the commercials come on and you see the nonsense that's out there today, I don't know how a Christian can honestly sit there and absorb all that and be a strong Christian, because you're allowing the culture to work its way up into your mind. And remember, your mind's like a piece of bubble gum. Okay? You ever watch kids out at the ballpark and they drop a piece of bubble gum? I sat out there one time and I watched a kid trying to pick the sand out of it. Picking out the sand. You will never, ever get the sand out of bubble gum that's dropped in the sand. It's there. It just gets sucked right into the thing. You're going to have to throw that away. And your brain works the same way. You fill it up with the garbage of this world and it's there. And because of our sin nature, it gets thrown up to the front of our thinking. It becomes the default position because we have sin-tainted minds. So we got to understand that. We got to know that. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. Why? Because he's there to defend it. How about that, dads? Are you there to defend your goods, that is, your wife, your children, your family? Or is it just open house? You know, whatever comes in. I read today of a father who was arrested up in the Northeast. He was picking up his son's girlfriend, who was 15 years old, taking them to a local park so they could have sex together, right? His son was 19. You see the problem? All right? He was taking there, condoned it all, would pick them up later, and so forth. This had been going on for a year. She started when she was 14, and he was 18. That's statutory rape. Okay? The father was the one that was leading in all of that. What values does that son have? He has the values condoned by his father. Okay? And the girl is the one that's having to suffer. It doesn't matter what her moral inclinations are or not at this point. She was preyed upon by two individuals that have skewered and skewed and whatever you want to call it, values. They learn them somewhere. They learn them somewhere. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoiling goods except He first binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. How does the devil spoil homes and houses? He works his way in and he destroys manhood. This is the last vestige of civilization right here. He's been working his way. He started years ago in governments, and his target has always been the family, because the family is the basic unit of society. And in these last days and last hours before Jesus comes back, he's going to do his best to destroy the identity of manhood and womanhood and reduce it to ashes. He destroys the strong man, and then he can spoil the whole house and send as many as possible to his abode, which is hell. That's the times that we're living in, folks. And we've got to wise up. We got to wise up when it comes to our children and to our grandchildren, that we have a haven for kids to grow up in, and that we set some standards, and that as dads, we be leaders in our home. I don't mean that you're ugly and nasty and what. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a strong individual that says, we're going to do right in this house. Joshua was a strong man. I love chapter, 24 of Joshua? Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of the Canaanites, but as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. That verse of Scripture has lived through history as an example of a strong man's house. Joshua said, I'm not going to let the devil come in and spoil my house. This is a verse of Scripture that needs to be impaneled in our houses, all right? And you men determine, as parents, fathers, grandfathers, husbands, that you're going to be the right kind of leader, and that you're going to be a strong leader. And when we mean strong in the Lord, strong in His Word. Not just grabbing up traditions or whatever. You make sure that they are filtered through God's Word, but you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you fight the devil with everything you can, because he has been let loose on this earth, and he is working his will in government and in homes, and he's just about destroyed the last vestige. You know where the last vestige of a true family is found? In good Bible-preaching churches. That's where the last vestiges are. Because the rest of it is just being mocked and laughed at and scoffed at. I mean, can you imagine a father taking his son and girlfriend who is underage, just because the son said, Dad, I need you to take us down or whatever, and he did it? That's not a strong man. That's a man with corrupt values. And it's far, far too prevalent in our society today. And we need some men that will stand up and do what's right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, we need to have some strong men. We need to have some strong boys that grow up to be men. Help us to teach them the values that are worthwhile, to learn how to be strong spiritually, to study their Bibles, and then to learn how to use their hands and their heads, and then provide leadership in a home so that the home can be a place where the next generation can be reared for God, for Thee, Father. Lord, I pray that You'd work in hearts tonight, and that You'd help us to understand that this is supposed to be normal and natural for the child of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.